Amen. What a beautiful time together. I love those songs. By the way, if you wondered who that little blonde girl is in the middle of them singing, that's my granddaughter. I'm just so honored and so grateful. My sons, my granddaughter, this incredible band that is with us today. Malachi, Gary, Debbie, Steve, my oldest son Ben on the drums. They're just, all of them are just amazing, and they've come together in such a beautiful way at this season to make all of this work for us. For somebody today, I felt such a draw on my heart this morning when we were singing in worship. This is your day today. Some of you have been asking God for something in particular. Maybe you're so closed in, you're so shut in, you haven't seen anybody, you haven't talked to anybody. You just feel like, what is the use? Today is your day. Today is going to be a new day for you. For some of you, you need some defining in your future, what you're doing, what you're called to do, what you're supposed to do. You've never really been able to hone that in. Today is your day. God is going to help you with that. Listen, if you haven't already, we share this on your page. Invite some people to come to church with you this morning. This could be for somebody today that is a friend of yours that we have never met before, but we want to meet them today. If you've never gotten a text, text the word CONNECT to 585-487-8100. That way you'll be updated on everything that is taking place and happening on a regular basis. We want to keep you in the loop with everything that is going on. And then I want to say in particular today, I want to look you right in the eye today. I want to say to those who have given, thank you. You are making a difference in a time that is so unreal. It's been through your faithfulness that we've been able to do it. There's been some expenses that 4 or 5 months ago we never even thought of or considered. And now we're in the middle of it and we're trying to do everything to the very best that we can. I want to tell you from the bottom of our heart, from myself, from the staff, the elders, the pastors, from the city church, the family of God, thank you today. If you'd like to give this morning, we'd be so honored. If you have the PushPay app, it's so easy to use. You can text the City Church NY to 77977. You can go to our webpage at thecitychurch.com. There's a little tab, give tab. You can go on that. And by the way, while you're on our website, look around a little bit. There's many things that are going on. And then if you'd like to, you can send it in the mail to the City Church, 210 East Main Street, Batavia, New York, 14020. For those of you that have never been here, maybe you're watching out of state, maybe you're watching out of country today, our church is located right in the middle of downtown in our beautiful city of Batavia, New York. We've been in this building now for 18 years, a little over 18 years, and it's been a place of refuge to many. And we want to make it available to you, no matter where you are, out of state. I've had text messages, instant messages from people literally all over the world. And we're so humbled. And we're so grateful for that. This morning, when I was looking, every day I get an alert on my calendar what was going to happen today. Today was going to be our baptism service for people that have given their lives to Christ. And I hope that if you're one of those who have given your life to Christ during this season where we haven't been able to meet you face to face, this is an incredible commitment. And one of those requirements, not a requirement, but God, it's a command that Jesus in the Bible tells us to be baptized in water. I don't know how that will look in the not too distant future, whether we'll do it like we've done it for a long time right here in the church, or whether we'll meet somewhere at a larger facility. I'm not sure, but it is something I want to sow in your mind today to just remember that to whom that is saved, that he says to be baptized, water baptized. I can explain more about that when we get closer to that moment, and we will. But I just want you to log that away in your heart. So many wanted to be water baptized, and this was that day. When I saw that on my calendar this week, my heart kind of just sank, that because it's such a beautiful, beautiful moment. in the church and in so many people's lives. I love you today. I want Pastor Erin to come first, if she would, and share with you for just a moment this morning.
Good morning. So good to be with you today. I want to talk to you a little bit about encouragement. One thing that I've noticed during this time is a lot of people are coming together and trying to think of ways to really just help each other, to really build each other up. I've seen more letters being written and received than ever before, more FaceTime calls, gifts on porches. I got some macaroons yesterday. They're fabulous. Just different things, ways just to bless people, parades of love and support that is going on. You know, some have just truly found an opportunity in the midst of a difficult situation, making lemonade out of lemons, if you will. But I feel like we're starting to really learn and see how precious life is in that, you know, when we feel something for someone or want to encourage that person, that we're going to be more likely to say it and to actually voice that encouragement. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." I just want to encourage you, let's keep finding ways to encourage others. Let's keep finding ways to build each other up. You know, I know for me, like when this past week, I just was going through that up and down, you know, and it was right at the time when I was like, I can't do this anymore. You know, I got a letter from a little dance girl in the mail. I got, you know, a text of encouragement, something on Facebook. It's those little things that really do make a difference in somebody's life. And sometimes I think we have to be elaborate in our encouragement. You know, we have to go over and beyond what we could imagine. But honestly, it's that text that says, "You're doing a good job." It's that letter that says, "I miss being in the studio. You know, I like you when I see you on the screen." It's the little things that matter. It's the good job. You're doing a good job. And so I just want to encourage you to say that to somebody, that you're doing a good job. You're doing better than you think. Your life matters. What you say makes a difference. You make a difference in somebody else's life. Zig Ziglar said it this way: when you encourage others, you in the process are encouraged because you're making a commitment and difference in that person's life. Encouragement really does make a difference. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." What can we do to motivate each other to do more acts of good works and to show more love? Let's do that. Let's become encouragers, because the world has enough critics already. So we want to be known as encouragers, as people that show love and people that show encouragement. Amen. Pastor Ryan today.
Great word this morning. It's fantastic to encourage one another. My dad, when we were growing up, he said the quickest way to be encouraged is to encourage someone else. So if you find yourself today needing encouragement, go and find someone to bless and lift up and encourage. And another thing he'd say all the time is, if you want a friend, show yourself friendly. You need a friend today? Go show yourself friendly to somebody. Bless someone in an abundance. I want to give you four things this morning. I believe the Lord laid this on my heart about a week ago. I want to give you four things to do when you need a miracle. And I'll tell you what, you might not need a miracle today. You might say, "Ryan, really, my life hasn't changed a whole lot. I've talked to some people. Some people are in the deepest valley, and some people are just kind of trucking along like nothing ever happened." But at some point in your life, you're going to need a miracle. And I want to give you four quick things, and I'm not going to read too much of it, but the scripture that I'm referencing this morning is in Judges in chapter 6. And I just encourage you to go back to this and read this, because it's so relevant today. Number one, they prayed and they pleaded with God. And I just read you a little bit of this. "When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, 'This is what the Lord God of Israel said. I brought you up out once, and I'll bring you up again.'" When you begin to pray, when you begin to seek God, when you begin to get get down on your knees before God. When you find yourself in a point of desperation, you can either cry out to man and complain and find yourself in this cycle of complaining and being a hater and just being swallowed up in negativity, or you can go to God in prayer. And all through the New Testament, this is an Old Testament scripture, but all through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us, take it to the Lord in prayer. Number one, the first thing you do when you need a miracle, you don't cry out to people. You don't find yourself in a cycle of negativity, but you cry out to God. The second thing you do, and I know this won't be extremely popular, but I'm going to share with you what the Word of the Lord says. The second thing you do, you bring an offering to the Lord. The scripture says this: Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat and a basket of flour. He baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the Lord. The second thing you do when you need a miracle in your life, you say, Ryan, I'm just in a point of depression. My marriage is on the fritz. I can't get a hold of my wife. I can't get a hold of my husband. I can't get a hold of my children. My whole home is in disarray. Bring an offering to the Lord. Pray before the Lord. Ask the Lord. And then bring an offering to Him. The third thing that happened in Judges, they took down the idols. And I could read up on about this, but it says, early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stir, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down and that the Asherah pole behind it had been cut down. The third thing that you do when you need a miracle is you get rid of the idols in your life. See, you can't serve other gods and serve God at the same time. You might have an altar in your house you're not even aware of. You're not even engaged in. You're not even sure what exactly is ailing you in your home. But the Lord says to you this morning, and He says to me this morning, if you've got an altar set up somewhere in your life, you need to rip it down and build an altar before the Lord and begin to worship and praise Him. The fourth thing. I love this. This is my favorite one, and then I'm done. They said, the scripture says that they came together. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid, they may leave and go home. And then it says, 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing. You need to get together with some people who are willing to walk with you. They're willing to get in the trench with you, if you may. They're not going to always tell you what you want to hear. They're not going to always come to you with a sweet by and by. But they'll be with you in the fight. They'll be with you in the battle. And Gideon goes out to fight, and the Lord speaks to him and says something to him that I think is so profound and I think is so relevant for today. You got to get some people with you that are willing to fight with you. You got to get some people with you that are willing to pray with you. You got to get some people that are willing to stand with you. They might not tell you everything you want to hear, but they'll be with you. Four things. You need to go back and look at this later. Judges 6 and 7. Four things. When you need a miracle, you need signs and wonders from the Holy Spirit. Four things you ought to do. Would you give your pastor, come on, give him some love from your living room. God great, bless you.
Great, great, great word. These guys, Aaron and Ryan, they are incredible preachers. I feel like a hot dog in a steakhouse after they get up. Hey, listen, something that I've encouraged everyone to do is to talk with one another in the comment section. And I had a friend of mine just inspire me to do this a few weeks ago, to take just about 15, 20 seconds. Say hi to some people that you see are watching right now. Just have that connection go on. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds. I'm not going to say a thing. That's a miracle. But go ahead. Say hi to a few people in the comment section. And say hi to us. Tell us where you're from, okay? Go. About 8 more seconds. Good. You're awesome. God bless you so much. I want to pray for you. I want to tell you today that I'm going to share communion again with you at the end of the service this morning. So get a cracker, get some juice together. We're going to partake of that together at the end of the service. I believe this is a season right now that as we partake in the Lord's table together, that he does great and mighty things in that moment that we don't even know about. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to say thank you so much right now. You're so kind to us. You're so good to us. You have such good intention in mind for us. Today, I ask you, Lord, for that breakthrough in an individual's lives. Lord, as we encourage one another today, as we stand with one another, as we pray with one another, as we fight for one another, be honored and be glorified in the middle of that, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So good. So good word today. I just want to echo what Pastor Aaron and Pastor Ryan, I don't believe they shared notes together in anything, but what a season this is to encourage other people. You know, the life of a pastor sometimes can become just so challenging. The criticism that is leveled against you when you're in the ministry is daunting sometimes. For the most part, I handle it, you know, fair. But sometimes it weighs you down significantly. And I know that's not just in the ministry. You can have a job and you can have somebody, you know, picking on you or belittling you or telling you everything that you're doing wrong. But can I just encourage you to shift that in this season? To begin to tell others the good in them. And even though we are in a season of physically distancing, you need to find people that you can pray with. You need to find people that'll stand up for you. You need to find people that'll fight for you. You know, I had this conversation, maybe it was with one of my boys this week, that if somebody says something to me about an individual that I know, I don't take that word that they say and say, wow. But if somebody comes and says something to me about somebody that I know and I have the opportunity about somebody that I know at that moment that they don't even know about the conversation. But if I have the opportunity at that time to say, nope, that's not who they are. I know them. Let me tell you who they are. Let me explain to you who they are. Now, saying that, some people can make mistakes. They can, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. They can get off or get out of character in their lives. But that doesn't change who they are as an individual. I'm saying all that to say, let's encourage others. Let's tell them, hey, you're doing a great job. Let's tell them, hey, let's pray together. I'm going to stand with you. I'm not going to get in the boat of muddling in gossip and in nonsense. I don't know why I'm saying all this. This isn't any part of my notes. You can blame Pastor Ryan and Pastor Aaron for this, but that spoke to my heart so much. I want to read to you a couple verses I just want to share just for a minute with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We pray that God himself, the God of peace, will make you pure, belonging only to him. We pray that your whole self, your spirit, your soul, and your body will be kept safe and blameless when our Lord Jesus comes soon. You know, when we refer to a new or a different season, I begin to have an observation that I noticed 19 years ago during 9/11. That was just a tragic and a treacherous time that our nation and the world, but in particular our nation. And I remember that so importantly that some of the people during that time were shaken so much that they begin to treat people that just walk by them day in and day out. They begin to treat them. They begin to look at them. They begin to say hello to them. They begin to show love to them. They, you know, you walk into a coffee place and they say, let me buy your coffee. Didn't even know you. Maybe have seen them 50 times before, but there was something that was taking place. And people that had issues with one another in the past, that seemed to to completely begin to diminish, because what was discovered is that people found out they needed one another, that they couldn't go on without one another. And they begin to love and serve while much of the world, and in particular our nation, was shaken to the core. But then I also noticed after a while that normalcy began to set back in again. People weren't lined up outside the front of our church to come in every day. They used to, during that time, we had people that were around town that would show up in the front, and they would ask me, can we go in the sanctuary and pray? These were people that maybe some of them never stepped inside of a church before, but they wanted to pray. And then the word got out, and day after day, there would be people wanting to come in. Then they wanted me to say something. They wanted me to speak to them. So for weeks, we'd have a noon gathering. People would come in to pray. I'd give 5-6 minute devotion. And then over time, everybody got back to what was normal. And I'm not saying that normal isn't bad, but what I am saying is God put something in and on your heart during a difficult season that is for your better. You should never slip back to the old way, to the normal that was maybe not healthy. And in that season, many made a decision they were going to love more, they were going to care for people more, they were going to forgive more, and made decisions to be greater stewards at that time in their lives as well. Couples came together, and I believe that in this season, that some of you, you've learned to become greater stewards. You've learned to love one another in a greater way, that some couples have learned to get along. Because before, you could just up and go to maybe your favorite hangout. You can't do that anymore because you got to stay and you got to face the music. And it's a good thing. But because through moments like these, God takes these times not just to change us in the season, but to impact us for our future. Genesis 50:20, you know the story. Joseph, sold by his brothers, went through pain, but in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me. You did mean to harm me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. What a message for right now. What's happened, that was meant for evil, but God is going to use it to bring life to many. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. He's going to take harm, difficulty, pain, and if you'll let him, he will turn it around and do something good with it. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven you. These are emotional decisions that you and I must engage in and we must make with our lives. And no doubt during the season that our emotions have contributed to the way that we feel in many ways. A job one day, laid off the next, business flourishing one day, no business the next. And in the middle of all of this, God wants you and I to know something, to understand that we can stay emotionally solid in a season like we are in. Because in this season, what throws us off are these attributes that attack our emotions. Some of us, we've experienced shock. You know, everybody's wearing mask. Even people driving down the street alone in their car with the windows up are wearing a mask. People, if you go into like a Home Depot or a grocery store, instead of people looking at you, nodding something, they look away. I noticed that. This isn't a slam, by the way, either, but I noticed it in Home Depot. I worked for Home Depot myself 25 years ago, and we were always taught to greet people and say hello. Now you walk in, they turn away from you. And it's like they're hiding from you. And it's shocking to me. And if we allow it, it impacts our emotional stability in such a way that it lays this weight on us that we're not used to. And I want to look at each one of you today, and I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you that I love you, that I care for you. This is like what Pastor Aaron, Pastor Ryan says, We need one another in this season like we have never needed each other before. To call out, to reach out. However you got to do it. Whether it's FaceTime, Zoom. There's so many things that I don't know of that I never knew of. But to do that, because we need to let people, I want you to know you are special. You're incredible. You're needed. You're loved. I love you. I don't just throw that out. I love you and care for you. And if we don't deal with the shock, it leads to another emotion in our lives of just feeling sorrowful. Loss of a job. Loss of going to school. My oldest grandson, a senior this year, and has missed some of the last days of school. The governor just said he's closing the schools down for the rest of the year. The loss of gathering, the interaction with others, the sorrow of it all can have an emotional toll on us that we didn't even comprehend. But God has an answer. Isaiah chapter 53:3, he says he was despised and rejected, speaking of Jesus, by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus took that emotion on himself for you and I. And he understands it and understood it. He understands what we go through. He understands our grief. He understands our disappointment. The Bible says when his friend Lazarus had died, the shortest verse in the Bible, but is so powerful, in John 11:35, it simply says Jesus wept. Because he had those emotions. Then the Bible says that he went to the tomb in verse 38 that he was deeply moved because he lost something. And it's okay for you and I to feel the sorrow, but for it not to overcome our lives. Not to overwhelm us to the place that we are devastated. David said in Psalm 61, he said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Lead me to something that is bigger than who I am, that is more powerful than who I am, because I can't do this in my own strength anymore." And then, and I don't have it, it won't be up on the screen, but I love this, verse 3 and 4. "For you have been a shelter to me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust you in the shelter of your wings." Praise God for that. And God wants you and I to know that we can anchor our life in something that is bigger than our sorrow, bigger than our fear, bigger than our unsettledness, bigger than the shock. David says we can anchor ourselves to a rock that is higher than I. But when we don't do that, here it is. We struggle. Our emotions get out of control. We make decisions, crazy decisions, that aren't even who we are. I've seen this not only during Corona, but in over 30 years of ministry, where people that I have been very well acquainted to that are strong go into this spiral. They disconnect from the people that they need to be connected to. And for some, they just get off of life and they go to these coping mechanisms, drugs and alcohol and engaging and watching inappropriate things, unhealthy relationships, and trying everything and ending up alone. Oh, my goodness. Broken and alone. And then trying to put the blame on someone else or justify why we do or why we did what we did. And I read the scripture last week, and I think it's just so important, and I want to read it out of the Message translation in Matthew 7:24-25. He said, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life upon." This is Jesus speaking. "If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured, rivers flooded, a tornado hit, Corona came, but nothing moved that house because it was fixed to a rock." I want to just close in these next few moments. I just want to build this house scripturally with you on the rock. I just want to give you just a couple thoughts on this. And I'm not going to be long. Number one, your life begins like a house. You have to have a foundation. I've done a little building in my life. I remember when I was putting this together, I was 18 years old. I was working for a carpenter. We poured the foundation, we put the footer in, and the man that we're building the house for, his father-in-law came over and he said, "I don't like that corner." He said, "I want to strengthen that." He gets his backhoe and he goes over there and he digs a hole. And a day later, we're pouring almost 20 yards of concrete into a hole. He stood back. He said, "Well, that house will never go anywhere, will it?" Boy, we said, "No, I guess it won't," because you got to have a strong foundation. Jesus said, when you build your house upon a rock, all of these things will come. Well, what is the rock? It's relationships with God, and it's a focus on the Word of God. Here it is again, physically, but you can't be socially disconnected. And I hate that phrase. You know, we got to socially disconnect. People are saying it. They don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even have a clue. You can't stay socially disconnected. You have to be socially connected. Physically separated, okay, but not socially. Because you've got to connect with God and others every day. You've got to connect with His Word. Paul said in Philippians 4:8-9, he said, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." Because you don't have to distance yourself from God. He's not required to abide by anybody else's rules. He's closer to you now than He's ever been for you before. And when you don't do that and you separate yourself from Him, you harm yourself and your own life. I want to encourage you again. I'm going to keep on beating this drum, as with everybody in the church and in the ministry. Phone calls, texts, FaceTime, Zoom, anything you can do. And not only do it now, but remain doing it and remain accountable. My brothers and my sisters, the house that you built must be built on accountability. And I know a lot of people, they don't like that. "Well, I'm not accountable to anybody." That's right. And that's why you've struggled. You've got to stay connected. Ephesians 4:16, from Him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up on love as each part does its work. Second, you got to have the right structure. It's the framing and it's the purpose and it's the routines. I talked about this last week. Because your regular structures are off, way off, no school, job, gym, coffee breaks, can't walk in and buy anything in a store. All the structures are off. You can't forget the plans that God has. Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you future and give you hope." And you got to have a vision for that. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, where you don't have any hope for tomorrow, you won't have any strength for today. And then three, this is the part that I probably am not good at. It's the beautifying. We had our house painted. My wife, she picked out all the colors. I'm looking at the colors. She said, "Don't you love that?" And I looked at it and I said, it's not my gift. But the purpose in the beautifying is simply trust and self-control in your life. Trust is surrendering everything that you can't control, and self-control is, "I will do only what I can control." And you can control some things in your life that maybe you've left out of control. Hear me on this now. Trust is that God has what you can't control, but that He also gives you the power over what you can control in your lives. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. What can I do? What do I have control over? My attitude, my actions, what comes out of my mouth, how I treat others, what I'm going to do every day, that I'm not going to just stay in bed till noon every day, but I'm going to get into a structure and a routine. I'm going to have control over my own life. I'm closing with this. Everybody has seen this at one time or another, but it was made aware to me this week in a powerful way. It's simply called the Serenity Prayer by a German His name is Reinhold Niebuhr. And it simply says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. So pertinent right now. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next life. Amen. This is so incredible. God's going to grant you this pathway of peace. And it may be in some hardship. I love what Paul said to Corinthians 2:12 and verse 9. He said this to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Debbie, come on and pray for me. Play for me. For my power is made perfect in my weakness. God's power made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may be upon me and you. Praise God. Boys are going to come and close in a song. And why don't you just allow his word, his purpose, and his plan minister to your life. Then we're going to come back. We're going to share communion together again this morning.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my fear. And when I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
To you what Paul said in Romans 5:3. He said, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. I know some people don't like to hear that. Just listen to the word of God. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here's a verse that I want to end before we partake in communion together. He said, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for you and he died for me. I don't care what family you came from. I don't care what side of the tracks you were born on. Without him, you have nothing. Would you pray with me this morning to ask Jesus in your heart? Then we're going to partake of communion together. You can do that this morning. Just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Just say it right where you're at. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of every wrong I've ever done. Come into my heart and my life. I ask you today to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Jesus took the bread. He looked at his disciples. He said, this is my body. It's been broken for you. Take it, eat it, every one of you. And remember what I've done for you. Let's partake the body, the bread of the Lord Jesus. He said in the same way he took the cup. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. It's been poured out for you. It's been shed for you. Paid for those sins. Every one of them. The spotless Lamb of God. The Bible says it was slain before the foundations of the earth were formed. For you and I. He said, take this cup. Drink it. Remember me. Let's partake of the cup. Touch, heal, make new every life that is participating right now, I pray. Pray for those who are sick in their body this morning. Pray for those who are brokenhearted today. Pray for those who are living in an element of fear and shock and sorrow, emotional distress. Lift them, I pray, today. Be God to them. In the name of Jesus. Come on, say a big amen with me. Listen, it's so good to be with you this morning. Just want to remind you how to give this morning. Push Pay app. You can text the word The City Church NY to 77977. Go to our website, thecitychurch.com. Go to the Give tab. Just send in the mail, City Church, 210 East Main Street, Batavia, New York, 14020. Love you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace today in the name of Jesus. Come on. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. We love you so much today.